البيان راديو presents the following lesson from مسجد الأزهر بأمه.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. أما بعد. Indeed, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We seek His help, His assistance and guidance in all things. He whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is no misguidance for Him. And he whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala misguides, there is no guidance for him except through the will and permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I bear witness and testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib al-Hashimi al-Qurashi was the final messenger and prophet sent to all of mankind. O you who believe, fear Allah as He deserves to be feared, and do not die except that you are Muslims, do not die except that you are in a state of Iman. Amma ba'd. First and foremost, forgive me for the late arrival, my beautiful brothers, sisters, and the viewers at home. Last week, we took an overview touching upon the life of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. Yani, obviously, it was a very short and limited biography, and that's because of two reasons. The first reason is that it is hard to put 46 years of a man's life into 20 minutes. And the second reason that it was a very limited dars is that the person who gave the dars was very limited in his knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all. Today's lesson, however, is an introduction to the actual 40 hadith of Imam An-Nawawi as a book. And inshallah, if time permits, the aim is to also read the entire muqaddimah of Al-Arba'een, the 40 hadith of Imam An-Nawawi. This book, the 40 hadith, and inshallah next week, each of the brothers and sisters, whoever is attending, will have a copy of the book, bi-idhnillah. Hopefully, we'll sort that out next week, inshallah. But this book, yani, wherever a person goes throughout the world, whether it's India, Pakistan, before when people used to go to Yemen when things were a little bit better, Syria, Saudi, wherever anyone used to go to study hadith, Syria and now brothers that are going into Turkey to study and other places, subhanAllah, the first book in hadith that usually people take is this book here, Al-Arba'een. And before يعني, you go into the deeper books, this is the first thing that you usually take. You're at يعني, at this moment, we're at the foot of the mountain that is hadith. يعني, if you can take this, inshallah, and understand the concepts, you can go on to the next book, inshallah, something either Riyadh al-Salihin or Bulugh al-Maram, and then after that, you can go into something bigger, like even Sahih Muslim, inshallah, or Al-Bukhari. But not just to read it from cover to cover, but to understand the concepts, to understand the meanings behind each of the ahadith that are found in this book. So, what I wanted to start off with before going into the muqaddimah is, how was this book written? What was it based on? The asl of this book, the origin of this book is that it was based on and then expanded on a work that was written by Ibn Salah, rahimahullah, whose name was Uthman ibn Abd al-Rahman al-Kurdi, who was one of the greatest scholars of Mustalah, one of the greatest scholars of Ilm al-Hadith. And what happened was that Ibn Salah gathered in one of his classes that he would teach Hadith in, he comprised a collection that he had a collection that comprised of the main concepts of Islam, and in that was the collection of 26 ahadith. So Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah had seen this great collection of Ibn Salah and added 16 ahadith of his to complete the 40. And then Hafiz Ibn Rajab rahimahullah took Imam An-Nawawi's collection of 42 hadith, because in the Muqaddimah of Imam An-Nawawi of the Arba'een, there are two ahadith. He added onto the 42 that Imam An-Nawawi had, and he added 8 ahadith, and he had done an explanation on all of the 50 ahadith, which was Jami' al-Ulum al-Hikam fi sharh 50 hadithan min Jawami' al-Kalim, which is one of the most famous books on the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the basic texts after Arba'een an-Nawawi. So first it was Ibn Salah, 26 hadith, then Imam An-Nawawi completing it to making it 40, and then the next person who took on the 40 was Hafiz Ibn Rajab rahimahumullah, and he made it into 50, and that was Jami' Ulum al-Hikam. What types of ahadith are in this book before we jump into the book inshallah? It is ahadith that are called Jawami' al-Kalim. Jawami' al-Kalim. What's so special about Jawami' al-Kalim? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in a beautiful hadith found both in Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu an, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bu'ithtu bi Jawami' al-Kalim. I have been sent with Jawami' al-Kalim. So what is this thing that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given as something special to him? It was a miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam al-Zuhri, rahimahullah, one of the greatest salaf and muhaddithin of this ummah, stated, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يتكلم بالقول الموجز القليل اللفظ كثير المعنى. Imam al-Zuhri, rahimahullah, he says that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to talk with not many words, but the words he spoke had great meaning. That's what Jawami' al-Kalim is. In another narration from Imam al-Zuhri as well, it's that what's Jawami' al-Kalim? It's that things that used to be written in books, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be able to say it in two sentences or one. And that is something of the miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously, the greatest miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Quran. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his time was able to split the moon, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi, and many other miracles we read in his seerah. But this miracle is specific to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the wordings that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. And that's something that many of us we don't actually understand. And we don't understand the barakah of the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that they had. His speech and the actual way that he spoke was a miracle, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi. So before we start the muqaddimah, what ideas and concepts are covered in this book? Things like ikhlas, bayan al-islam, arkan al-islam, arkan al-iman, bayan al-halal wal-haram, al-adab amma, ba'd sifatillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. Things like sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is Islam in its essence, the pillars of Islam, the pillars of Iman, what is halal, what is permissible and what is forbidden, general etiquettes, some of the characteristics and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and many, many other things inshallah, which we'll cover weekly, bi-idhnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. The next point is that we want to know why specifically 40 hadith? Islam generally, if you find in the seerah, if you look closely, it has a few numbers that have some significance. But why 40 hadith? Why not an odd number? Because we instructed to eat mathalan dates on an odd number. We do tawaf in an odd number. There are 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there are obviously more than 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the hadith says that whoever memorizes the 99. Why 40 hadith? And inshallah, that question بإذن الله will be covered in the introduction, which will begin. If anyone does have the book, we'll just start the introduction بإذن الله تبارك وتعالى of Imam An-Nawawi himself. The first bit is just Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's just the beginning of the book that I want to read in Arabic. Inshallah, we'll translate. Any of the ahadith, inshallah, we'll be reading it in Arabic as well. And then, inshallah, the rest of it, we'll be reading it in English. Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Qala al-imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah fi kitab al-arba'in. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. قيوم السماوات والأراضين مدبر الخلائق أجمعين باعث الرسل صلوات الله وسلامه عليهم إلى المكلفين لهدايتهم وبيان شرائع الدين بالدلائل القطعية وواضحات البراهين أحمده على جميع نعمه وأسأله المزيد من فضله وكرمه وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله الواحد القهار الكريم الغفار وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله وحبيبه وخليله أفضل المخلوقين المكرم بالقرآن العزيز المعجزة المستمرة على تعاقب السنين وبالسنن المستنيرة للمسترشدين المخصوص بجوامع الكلم وسماحة الدين صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى سائر النبيين وآل كل وسائر الصالحين أما بعد. That is how Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah started his book, and the translation starts with "In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. Praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds, eternal guardian of the heavens and the earths, ruler over all creatures, who sent to responsible beings the messengers upon whom his blessings and peace, that they might bring them guidance and make clear to them the Sharia. Him do I praise for all his favors, and from him do I beg increase of his kindness and his generosity. Also, I bear witness that our master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger, his beloved and his friend, the most excellent of created beings, who was honored by being given the mighty Quran and by being given the Sunnah." Over here, they've translated Jawami' al-Kalim to the Sunnah. This is يعني, not entirely correct. It would be better to have translated Jawami' al-Kalim as either keep it as Jawami' al-Kalim or as one of the miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he had. But as they have translated, and by being given the sunnah, right practices which enlighten those who seek to be directed in the right way, who is distinguished for the all-embracing wisdom of his discourse and for his preservance in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah's blessing and peace be upon him and upon the rest of the prophets and messengers, upon the families of them all, and upon all of the believers. Yani, this muqaddimah, subhanAllah, is very self-explanatory. There isn't much except on one point that we have to really look a little bit more closely on. So inshallah, what we'll do, we'll just read the entire thing. It's only another two pages, bi'idhnillah. And then we'll come back to the point that I want to make sure that everyone understands. That was the question that I brought forward, is why arba'in? Why 40 hadith? And that's what he's getting to right now. Imam An-Nawawi then goes on to say, rahimahullah, it has come to us on the authority of Ali ibn Abi Talib and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and Mu'adh ibn Jabal and Abu Darda and Ibn Umar and Ibn Abbas and Anas ibn Malik and Abu Huraira and Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhum, all companions of the Prophet, upon whom be Allah's blessing and peace, with all whom may Allah be pleased, through many lines of transmission, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man hafidha ala ummati 40 hadithan min amri dinha, ba'athahu Allahu ta'ala yawm al-qiyamati fi zumrati al-fuqaha'i wal-ulama." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Whoever preserves for my community 40 hadith concerning matters of this religion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will on the last day raise him in the company of the fuqaha and the ulama, jurists and scholars. In another riwayah, according to another line of transmission, this hadith reads, بَعَثَهُ اللَّهُ فَقِيهًا عَالِمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise him up a faqih and an alim. In another narration by Abu Darda, it reads, وَكُنْتُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ شَافِعًا وَشَهِيدًا. I will be an intercessor, يعني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم will be an intercessor and a witness for him on the day of rising. And in another narration transmitted by Ibn Mas'ud, it reads, وَقِيلَ لَهُ ادْخُلْ مِنْ أَيِّ أَبْوَابِ الْجَنَّةِ شِتْ. It will be said to him, enter the garden, Jannah, by any gate that you please. And in the narration of Ibn Umar, radiallahu an, it reads, كُتِبَ فِي زُمْرَةِ الْعُلَمَاء وَحُشِرَ فِي زُمْرَةِ الشُّهَدَاء. He will be recorded in the company of the ulama and raised up in the company of the martyrs. Yani, this is why they chose 40 hadith. And not just Imam Nawawi. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah mentions who else took on the 40. But there's a little problem that he mentions, that in the Arabic it has a little bit more umph, subhanallah. اتفق الحفاظ على أنه حديث ضعيف وإن كثرت طرقه. The traditional transmitters, they've translated it as, all the muhaddithin of hadith agreed that the above is a weak tradition, even though the lines by which it has been handed down are numerous. So, يعني after all that, the hadith is ضعيف. However, Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah, continues, and he says, the ulama, with whom may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased, have composed innumerable works on this matter. Of the 40 hadith, to my knowledge, Imam Nawawi states, the first among them to write thereon was Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, rahimahullah. Then came Muhammad ibn Aslam al-Tusi, one who was devoted to his Lord, rahimahullah. Then there was Al-Hasan ibn Sufyan al-Nasa'i, rahimahullah, and Abu Bakr al-Ajurri, and Abu Bakr Muhammad ibn Ibrahim al-Isfahani and al-Darqutni, rahimahumullah, and others too numerous to mention, both among the writers of old and latter. So, يعني, he's mentioning who from the ulama of the Salaf used this hadith and the various narrations that are there to write compilations regarding various issues and basing it on 40 ahadith. However, he continues, the ulama have agreed that it is permissible to make use of a weak hadith when it concerns a matter of praiseworthy works. Yani, the Arabic word for this is fada'il. In Bab al-Fada'il. Yet, in spite of this, I have not relied on the above recorded hadith, but rather on the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِيُبَلِّغْ الشَّاهِدْ مِنْكُمْ الْغَائِبِ. Let him among you, who يعني, was present and saw, inform him who was absent. So Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah is saying that although the ulama have taken the hadith that is da'if and said that in Bab al-Fada'il, and this is something that I want to come back to and expand on later on once we finish the muqaddimah insha'Allah, of this issue specifically, of when are we allowed to take a hadith that are da'if, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits us with time. But he's saying that although the ulama of the Salaf used this, I'm not using it. What I'm using is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, whoever, يعني, he was saying it to obviously the Sahaba, that whoever has heard, let him go and inform. And another hadith that he's saying that he based this compilation off is the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the famous hadith, نَدَّرَ اللَّهُ امْرَأً سَمِعَ مَقَالَتِي فَوَعَاهَا فَأَدَّاهَا كَمَا سَمِعَهَا. This hadith, يعني, subhanAllah, is... There are so many lessons from this hadith. It's unbelievable. But the hadith itself is, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brighten life for any man who hears what I say. يعني, now we can't hear the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we can go back to his sunnah. Pays heed to it, listens to it, understands it, and passes it on. But there's a shart, there's a condition. Not passes it on in your own words, passes it on leaving and adding some meanings, some wordings that يعني, you just hide behind the table because it might be convenient for that time. The ending, what's the condition? As he heard it. كَمَا سَمِعَهَا. How you heard the hadith, give it. If you didn't understand it, if you think, okay, maybe I'm forgetting something, it's better to not give that hadith. Why? Is because if you attribute something to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you're playing games with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you don't want that on your neck on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Because there's another hadith, inshallah, we'll come back to it. مَنْ كَذِبَ عَلَيَّ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَلْيَتَبَوَّأْ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. That whoever lies on me intentionally, let him prepare his seat in the hellfire. And you're not playing games with anyone here. It's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Prophet. But inshallah, Imam Nawawi, we'll come back to this exact issue bi-idhnillah, of when can we use a hadith that's da'if in specific things, and is it a blanket rule? Any hadith that's da'if, or is there conditions to it? Inshallah, we'll come back to it. There's not much left, inshallah, of the muqaddimah. Imam Nawawi then continues and says, among the ulama are some who have assembled 40 hadith concerning the principles of religion, usul al-din, yani aqeedah, while others have made the collection with reference to the derivative matters of the religion, the furu'. Some have made collections of 40 hadith about the matter of jihad, or the struggle in the cause of religion. Some about ascetic practices, يعني الزهد, where يعني it encourages one to have no element of the dunya in his heart. And some about the rules of conduct, others about practical discourse, يعني the general etiquettes. And Imam Nawawi then continues, all these are righteous purposes, so may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with such as have purposed them. My thought, however, this is Imam Nawawi saying why he wrote this book, my thought, however, was to compile 40 hadith more important of any of these, all the things that he mentioned before. 40 hadith, which would include all of the above mentioned, each hadith would set forth one of the fundamental points of religious belief. I will choose such hadith as those which the ulama have referred to as the pivot of Islam, يعني the most important thing in Islam. Some ahadith, the scholars have said, this is Islam. This hadith covers everything. Especially like, for instance, the first hadith that we'll take inshallah next week. Or, for instance, half of Islam. Or the third of Islam. Or some such title. يعني the things that he's seen over his reading, that the ulama have said this hadith is some of the most important things of Islam, the third of Islam, half of Islam, the entire deen. Yani this is the types of ahadith that he's choosing. Then I will insist that each of the 40 be a genuine hadith, yani an authentic hadith, a hadith that is sahih. For the most part, such will be found in the sahihain of al-Bukhari and Muslim. And we know the principle that any hadith that is found in both Bukhari and Muslim is the most sahih. It's not Sahih al-Bukhari, it's whatever is found in both Sahih Muslim and Sahih al-Bukhari, and then Bukhari, and then Muslim. Right? That's the order, that's the hierarchy. So he's saying that, inshallah, most part of it, most of the ahadith that he's choosing will be in the Sahihain. I will record them without the isnad in order to make it easier to memorize them and to make them more generally profitable if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will. Yani, I was going to say that if anyone can just memorize the matan of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's beneficial, but he's included. Jazakallah khair, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on him. The companion's name as well. If any of you can memorize any of the yani all of the ahadith in there, inshallah, by the end of this dars, bi'idhnillah, there will be a special gift, bi'idhnillah tabarak wa ta'ala, to the brothers or the sisters that are gathering here with the yani how the hadith is found in the book, inshallah. Everyone who is, Imam Nawawi continues, everyone who is eager to attain the next world, the akhirah, ought to know these hadiths because of the important matters they contain and the indicators that they give of all things in which obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is necessary. This will be apparent to anyone who reflects on the matter, on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my reliance and He is my trust and stay. His is the praise and the worship, and with Him is success and protection. That is the muqaddimah, the introduction of Imam al-Nawawi's Arba'een. The one thing, yani it's very self-explanatory, why he wrote the book, why he chose 40 ahadith, it doesn't really need much of a commentary. But I want to just focus on just one thing, is the issue of the hadith that he's mentioned, of the 40 hadith, and then going into, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us time, of when we are able to use a hadith that are da'if, and is it a blanket rule? Are we able to just open any book that we know have yani we'll get into some examples inshallah, but are we allowed to open any book and we see that the imam has said, for instance, this is a hadith that's mawdu', it's a full fabrication, complete lie against Rasulullah sallam, can we say, yeah, but it's in Bab al-Fada'il, we're trying to encourage good? Are we allowed to do that? That's something that we want to come to. But Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah states that the great Huffaz, this is what he stated, the best of the muhaddithin, that they have consensus, ittafaqu, right? That this hadith, the hadith of 40 hadith, whoever preserves 40 hadith, that the hadith is da'if. Who are some of these Huffaz that yani stated this? Rama Hurmazi in his book Al-Muhaddith Al-Fasil, Ibn Adi in his book Al-Kamil, Bayhaqi in his book Shu'ab al-Iman, and Ibn al-Jawzi also has mentioned that this hadith is da'if. Yani, this is some of the giants of ilm al-hadith. It's not, yani, I'm not saying it. You know, this is a salaf that are saying it. Imam al-Bayhaqi, after saying this hadith in Shu'ab al-Iman, he says that this hadith is widespread between the people. However, it does not have a single isnad that is sahih. Not a single isnad. And yani, we heard Ibn Umar, yani, there's so many different sahabas, right? But all of them are not sahih. Not a single one. So why did he use it? Why did Imam Nawawi and the rest of the ulama, why did they use this hadith? And that's the, yani Imam Nawawi actually answered why they used it. If we paid attention to what he was saying, after he said that he said two things. The first is that a weak hadith in Bab al-Fada'il can be used, right? From the ulama who have said that the hadith that is da'if or a weak hadith can be used in Fada'il. Fada'il is things that encourage you to do good. Yani if you, for instance, I'll come to some examples. Like for instance, whoever says Ayat al-Kursi before sleeping, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send him a guardian to protect him until the morning. Yani this encourages you to say Ayat al-Kursi. So this is something from the Fada'il. But some people have taken this statement and ran with it, that the ulama have said that you can take a weak narration and use it in Bab al-Fada'il to encourage people to do good. On this point, this is what exactly needs a clarification. The ulama of yani of the muhaddithin are very staunch, subhanAllah, on not using hadith that aren't sahih. That's not the asl of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, especially, then obviously now we're saying Fada'il, and there's another chapter called Halal and Haram, right? The things that we make permissible and things that are like, not encouraging you. This is permissible and this is not permissible, right? And Imam Ahmad says, لَمَّا رَوَيْنَا فِي الْحَلَالِ وَالْحَرَامِ تَشَدَّدْنَا. When we narrated hadith in what is lawful and what is not lawful, we became strict. And لَمَّا رَوَيْنَا فِي الْفَضَائِلِ تَسَاهَلْنَا. When we started narrating in the ahadith of encouragement, we took it a little bit easier, right? But why were they so staunch on not using ahadith that are da'if? It's the hadith that I mentioned before that's found in Sunan Ibn Majah on the authority of Jabir radiallahu anhu, مَنْ كَذِبَ عَلَيَّ مُتَعَمِدًا فَلِيَتَبَوَّ مَقَعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. That whoever lies upon me intentionally, let him prepare his seat in the hellfire. نَسْأَلَ اللَّهِ السَّلَامُ وَالْعَافِيَةِ. So this is why Ahlul Sunnah, as a general principle, we don't rely on ahadith that are da'if. The asl is that we always look for something that is sahih. However, the ulama of Ahlul Hadith, they've disagreed in what we were just talking about in the chapter of Fada'il. Not in Halal and Haram, they didn't disagree on this. In Halal and Haram, across the board, we don't use ahadith that are da'if as an asl. It's only whatever is sahih as an asl. Right, we might use it in another way of, like, for instance, if we have something that's sahih and something that's da'if, that يعني, we can use to promote the first cause. Nothing if it's like just one hadith that's da'if and it goes against 100 that are sahih, we go, no, but there's a hadith there as well. It's not like that in halal and haram. But the ulama in fada'il, in the chapter of fada'il, in the chapter of encouragement, if there is a hadith that isn't very, very weak, يعني, and it can be used for encouragement, and it goes under an asl, like for instance, dhikr, or an asl, like promoting sadaqah, or promoting something that is good in Islam, يعني, we have to understand that not all the ahadith that are da'if are the same. Something that is mursal, like there are different types of ahadith. If a liar comes to you with, يعني, for instance, I'll give you an example. If a Rafidi came to you and said that if you say Ya Ali or Ya Fatima, shirk, right? If you say that, then you can say, if you say it 100 times, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you whatever you want. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you Jannah. Is that the same as, for instance, someone who was just a little bit weak in his hifz? Like, one of the conditions of a hadith that is sahih is that the person who gives you the hadith has to be knowledgeable in the hadith, he has to be a hafiz, right? He has to be someone who has good hifz. So, is that the same? A person who's a liar, a person who's not trustworthy, giving you a hadith that has shirk in it, or a hadith that goes against Islam, with something else that encourages you to do dhikr, for instance. It's not the same. So, not all two hadiths of da'if are not the same. So, this is something that we have to take into think that if the hadith isn't very strong, if the hadith has just a slight weakness in it, and there are various narrations in it, it's not just one person, and it comes under an asl of the sharia, then this is something that can be used in fada'il, but not in halal and haram. There are so many things that I had prepared, but subhanAllah, we're just going over the time frame. But inshaAllah, what we will do, hopefully, as the classes go on, we'll try to put some of these, what we've prepared, we'll put some of these things, inshallah, in the actual dars as we go on, as like a practical, bi-idhnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. Again, brothers and sisters and viewers, sorry for today, the class starting a little bit later than usual. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. And inshallah, we benefit from all that we have taken and benefit from what we haven't taken. But forgive us for our shortcomings. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This program was presented by Al-Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.